Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast, and as Daysbro in chat says, ready for Garvug part 24. We're back. We've got
It's the Garvug that doesn't stop Garvugging.
It's not really part 24, but it feels like it, because I mean, are we done yet? Are we there? Is it over?
We've been covering Garvug for 2 months now.
This is the longest. Like, you thought the Liara section of our the podcast that we've gone through and all the episodes we've gone through, you guys thought the Liara section was long. Garvug, I think, is going to be longer than Liara.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it will, because this is not our final episode today.
We still got one more.
We've got a postmortem after this.
I was already like in my mind, because one of the first things I do after we record is I design the thumbnail, and then I edit the podcast, I upload it to YouTube and all, and the podcatcher services, all that stuff, right? I do all that stuff. And in my mind, before we started this episode, as I sat down to do this and you and I were prepping, I was like, oh, I finally get to do a thumbnail that says like, the war is over or something like that. And I was going to make it all epic, but I'm like, oh no, maybe it's not. But I haven't read ahead. I don't know where we're going, and that's part of the fun.
So that is a perfect sequitur to this episode. The war is over, but the story is not.
Okay, all right.
And so, okay, so a recap from last time. You remember there was this big surprise attack on Garvug, mm-hmm. because the corporations had followed through like they said they were going to. They withdrew all their troops, but then out of nowhere, once the guerrilla fighters, quote unquote, came out of the woodwork, they just bombarded this planet from orbit, annihilated the capital city of Dazeel, and we're just kind of left with our jaws on the floor. Right. And that's where we are.
Right, right. It was a big turnaround. The corporate people we thought were leaving, and then they pulled the trick. And so now I'm wondering, like, Hyla Arund, is he okay? Does he have another arm missing? Did he grow an arm back? Is that something that you can do genetically? Like, what is going on with all of that? How is this going to work out? So I'm sure we have the next correspondence in the news.
Yes.
Like, what's the next one? Where does this go?
Right. So Lyra Spate, our favorite Sonak Supreme Commander, holds a press conference, the first one in weeks, according to Cerberus Daily News, and it displays satellite images of Sonak's and Guanghui Solutions divisions landing in Dazeel, that same capital that was bombarded, and it says landing in Dazeel or what remains of it. Spate showed little concern for the cost of life from the brutal bombardments, but pointed out that the roads, the spaceport, and mining infrastructure remain intact.
Nice.
Oh yes, see, we were accurate in where we wanted to be. Sonax, Guanghui, and Binary Helix stocks closed high in response. Sonax's nearly 1,000% boost was the talk of the trade floor as the win-by-losing strategy became apparent.
Ugh. They're, like, being rewarded for being terrible.
There's a lot of people who held on to that Sonax stock and those investors, their friends must have been like, dude, you gotta get out. You know, months ago, they must have been like, you gotta get out, cut your losses. And those Sonax investors who held on to the stock are really thankful now, and especially if they bought the dip, because a 1,000% boost, someone just made 10 times their money back.
Right, right. I have this picture in my head of like your grandpa who got some of this stock like years ago because he worked for one of the companies or something. And then you were like, Grandpa, things are really going bad with Sonax. You need to get rid of your stock. It's just going to keep dropping. Yeah, I'll check in on it one of these days. And then all of a sudden the stock just goes through the roof. Grandpa, you didn't get rid of your stock, did you?
Get rid of what stock? Sonax. Oh, no, I've had that for 40 years.
He's well, unaware that he's just like one of the biggest war profiteers.
Right. Yeah. Grandpa, you need to upgrade from that that 500 square foot apartment you're living in. You can buy whatever you want now. Oh, goody.
Yeah. So how did your grandpa make his money? Just some casual genocide from a corporation he was invested in.
Right. He killed a bunch of people on the planet. Cool.
So yeah, that's like, it feels a lot like all is lost right now for the Krogan and the Vorcha, and it just feels like the corporations have completely won. Not only have they won, but their investors have won too.
Yeah.
And then it's just really discouraging if you were rooting for the Krogan and the Vorcha this whole time, because it just does not seem like there is any room for a comeback for the Krogan. And we get the next dispatch the next day. It says, Sonax Industries presented a list of confirmed dead or captured enemy commanders on Garvug today. 90 of the 112 names are presumed out of action. So they don't have those confirmed.
Okay.
Presumed.
Yeah, presumed. That's still a lot of people.
But among the dead is notable guerrilla leader Hylot Rund.
Oh, no.
Who apparently survived a poisoning attempt before fleeing in a sky car that was driven out of the air by Guanghui Solutions gunships. So he survived a poisoning attempt. He tried to escape in a sky car. Then they have these gunships that basically just shoots him down. And then Cerberus, according to Cerberus Daily News, an autopsy, I wonder conducted by whom, an autopsy revealed that after Rune's heavily armored car slammed into a mountainside and armor-piercing incendiary rounds ignited its fuel into a fireball, the trapped and wounded Rune finally died of smoke inhalation.
That's the thing that took him out. It's the smoke
inhalation.
All of this other stuff. Poisoning, getting exploded in bombs, losing his arm, getting attacked in the car, fireball, all of this stuff. And it's the smoke that kills him.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of the definition of an anticlimactic death.
Right.
The corporate coalition is making the autopsy video and gun camera footage publicly available at midnight tonight, Garvug local time. Wow. They're making the gun camera footage publicly available and autopsy video. There is no respect for this, for Hylot Rune's, for lack there of a better word, humanity.
Right. None. His Kroganity?
His Kroganity.
He's been trashed. Oh, that sucks. This is the point in every epic movie where it looks like the bad guy's going to win. And the whole feeling is like, oh, well, there's no way they're going to come back from this. They've gone too far. The bad guys are unstoppable. How are they ever going to win? Right. Like, this feels like that moment. And I'm hoping we get the turn where it's like, oh, but there was this other thing and the good guys can use that. And then now they get to win.
We start hearing Linkin Park's What I've Done in the background.
Right.
And then the dramatic reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain America all of a sudden wields Thor's hammer and you're like, yes, this is going to happen. Is that where we're at? Except Hylot Rune is done and there's no Thor's hammer. So
unfortunately, this is more like the other side of U.S. military propaganda. Now we have this is more akin to watching The Kingdom, or if you remember that movie, or The Hurt Locker. So basically, there's not going to be a comeback.
Oh, that's not
how it looks. The next day we get this dispatch the next day, and it says Sonax Industries, Guanghui Solutions, and Binary Helix held a joint press conference today to address shareholder concerns about the new offensive on Garvuk. Spokespersons detailed a campaign of careful media control dating back several months. Okay, you remember how we were considering whether or not they were manipulating the media? Yeah, they definitely were. Mm-hmm. Binary Helix explained that their rift in the coalition was a ruse, so that was all a lie. We were justified for having reservations about whether or not we were being told the truth there. Guanghui gave details of special forces left on Garvuk disguised as civilians, whose mission was to pinpoint insurgency leaders when they came out of hiding. Sonax reps spoke at length about the actual board vote, 8-3, not 5-6. Mm-hmm. You remember, I was skeptical of that.
Right.
8-3. To continue the war once they were filled in on the so-called wooden horse gambit. Said CFO Abayomi Osaba, "We had a responsibility to keep the company from going under. We regret that there was no way other than to ask for forgiveness after the fact." Okay, so they're asking for forgiveness because they lied about their strategy, not for all of the lives they killed in this invasion.
Right. Yeah, still that part doesn't bother them. The fact that they had to, tell some little lies in order to get what they wanted and have to ask forgiveness. It's that every time in my life I've heard someone say, well, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. I've also already considered that person to be pretty immoral. and the things that the person has done in the past have always rubbed me wrong. And then when they say that, I go, oh, okay. That's all right.
Yeah,
I get it now.
Right. It's a very much a coded language for the ends justify the means.
It's the same thing.
And
it's the same thing.
Just tell someone whatever they want to hear and do what you want to do anyway, because transparency is overrated. That's right.
And if you're planning to ask forgiveness, then you don't actually feel bad about it because you already planned to do it. So it's not genuine. So. Okay, cool. Now I know exactly who you are, and bye. Don't need to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. So this CFO basically says, we're asking for forgiveness for not being transparent. And then it says, asked if the board would face charges for perpetrating fraud on stockholders. This is an interesting angle. He responded, quote, our legal department can explain Ilium's laws in that area. You'll find them quite flexible. This weaselly motherfucker.
Oh, it's so slippery. It's oh god. All right, but now you're saying it gets worse. Where does it go from
this
here?
This is. It's hard to believe it gets worse because this is already like the embodiment of sleazy corporate greed that we all hate, and it gets worse. So you remember Emily Wong?
Yes.
The reporter that we meet in Mass Effect 1.
Right.
She seems like one of like the only reporters who's like really dedicated to finding out the truth and
yeah, very exposés. Dedicated. Like she's like laser focused. Yeah.
Yes. She's pretty straight laced. Although she is willing to develop somewhat of like a ethically challenging relationship with Commander Shepard, but it's nothing that would discredit her reporting, basically. Mm-hmm. So Emily Wong sets up this interview with Lyra Spate.
Oh.
And now I'm getting hopeful that we're going to get to the bottom of basically what was really going on here. This one comes a week after that press conference we just talked about. It says, in the first half of an exclusive 90-minute Citadel Standard interview, Sonax Industries Supreme Commander Lyra Spate sat down with the Future Content Corporation's Emily Wong and answered questions about the war on Garvuk. Quote, we, and I mean the Army, not the board, had a nearly impossible task once the insurgency was established, she says, and success would not have been financially possible without Umsung Holdings back. I presented the idea to the higher-ups of letting some negative stories through on the comm buoys to win trust with the news media, but it developed into more. The president of Umsung was good friends with Sonax's chairman. When the offer was made, the idea clicked. The board realized the power of winning by losing. From that moment on, we played the wounded bird and gave the snakes exactly what they wanted to see. Okay, You know I'm a journalist in real life.
Yeah.
If I were Emily Wong, my immediate follow-up question to this would be, okay, so Spate, you've now confirmed that you were lying to the news media for months. Mm-hmm. But you've justified it, but at the end, it is still a lie. Why should we believe anything that you're telling us now?
Yeah, from this point on, how do we believe you? How do we trust you at all?
Why should we trust anything, including whether any of that in the past was a lie? You know, why have you agreed to do this interview unless you just hope to use us again? Why should any of the viewers at home trust a damn word you say?
Right, right, right. Why should we? Yeah, it's this is one of those questions that hits me all the time, especially in our current situation in our world where certain individuals lie to us all the time on media and news and all sorts of things. Right. And so after in your personal life, how many times does somebody, you know, have to lie to you before you just write them off and you go, okay, well, I'm never trusting them again. And yet when something happens on like a national platform, we just keep letting them lie to us. That's so strange, right? Like, why is that any different? I don't get it.
I wish I had an answer for you. Yeah. If you find the answer, let me know.
Yeah, I don't get
yeah.
it. I don't
yeah,
get
and it. Some people, certain people, will have even admitted on national television that they lied to the American people, but somehow expect the American people to trust them going forward. And that's kind of where we find Lyra Spate here. I guess disclosing, okay, yeah, we lied, but it was necessary because, you know, our success was hinged upon that winning by losing strategy. And surely you understand.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
This is all business.
I think that what that does is it triggers the thing in our heads that goes, oh, they're sorry that they made a mistake. They're asking for forgiveness. But that's not actually what's happening here. There is no, hey, we made a mistake and lied to you accidentally. We feel so bad about what happened. Please forgive us. It's not that at all. It's we did this intentionally. Now we're clearing the air of it. And of course, you understand. Those are two very different things.
Of course you understand,
things.
Yes.
Right. Those are very different things.
Yeah, it's expecting you to forgive me without me humbling myself to ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Without me precluding that I will ever do it again.
Right. And on top of it, you would have to understand, pulls the other person in and says, really what they're saying is, I'm sure there have been times where you've done this before. You will understand how this is, right? What it does is it lowers the listener to their level to say, hey, you've been a liar before too, because we all tell lies at some point. So you understand how this goes. It's not that bad. That's the subtlety of this. That's why that rhetoric works. That sucks.
I bet for the people watching this at home, the people who are already critical of the corporations are going to be galvanized. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I would wonder if there's going to be any level of consequence at all for the corporations, because Emily Wong is a Citadel Space journalist, right? That's where she operates.
Yeah.
And so this is going out to viewers in Citadel Space who are used to rule of law. So even though this war happened in the Terminus systems, one has to wonder if there's going to be any level of consequence at all. And I guess that's where the second half of her interview picks up.
Okay, so yeah, what happens next? What happens with this part?
Right. So in the second half, the admiral, it says, alternately argues about, confesses to, and speculates about the moral repugnance of her actions. Quote, I don't regret the deception, she said, to shareholders or anyone else. What keeps me up at night is the death of Brigadier General Noah Vardos. He knew the real strategy, but he saw good people dying under him. Garvug residents dying for no reason. It haunted him. Okay, Garvug residents? You mean the people you brought in?
Right, right.
The people the corporation brought it, but killing the innocent Krogan and Vorcha, whose world that was, that you invaded, that didn't haunt anyone.
Right. The actual residents. That wasn't a problem.
Yeah. And that's where the interview goes. It says, as to the civilian casualties, she responded, quote, our test story, the video of Krogan being executed, that wasn't genuine, but damn few people questioned it. Once we saw the public saturation point, when they weren't shocked anymore and just wanted it over, we gave them what they demanded as fast as we could. How insidious is this?
Yeah, it puts the blame on the public. It's like, well, clearly the public were okay with it, so we're fine, right?
Well, it's like, we manipulated things to the extent that we led people to believe that we were executing Croak. Okay, so here's the 4D chess of the lying about lying that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. She's saying, she just previously said, we misled the media to let them think that we were getting our butts handed to us for so long. Then that way we would give the snakes what they wanted, right? That way we could win by losing. But now she's saying our tests story, the video of Krogan being executed, yeah, that wasn't genuine. Okay, why should we believe that this is actually part of their ploy and wasn't just a legitimate video that did surface that they are now retroactively conveniently explaining, oh yeah, that was part of our lies?
Yeah, it's just, they just keep on convincing anybody who's really paying attention to believe them less and less and less.
Honestly, it's insane, because If she's telling the truth in this moment that it wasn't a real video, that the Krogan were not executed and few people questioned it, she's laughing at the public for empathizing with a native population that is seemingly being carried out a genocide against. She's laughing at them and saying, ha, you believe that? We manipulated you. And then we gave you what you wanted, that the war was over. What a monster.
Right. Like, the only people this should appeal to are people who are already monsters, who see how good they are at being monsters and look up to them for being terrible. That's the only, and hopefully that's a very small percentage of the population, but oh my God. Yeah.
This should appall anyone that has any shred of affinity for truth, for a rule of law, for decency, for morality. I mean, what was the, I can't even find an ends that justify these means.
Yeah, well, money. I mean, it comes down to money.
For, well, most people. Yeah, I guess,
and
right?
We've heard in our own world, well, I'm more financially beneficial when this happens, so therefore that's what I'm supporting. I don't care about any of the other stuff. I don't care about lies. I don't care about anything. That benefits me, and so therefore I'm going to support it.
You know, I'd like to ask the Sonax shareholders a question. Are you better off now than you were 4 months ago?
Oh, man.
And yes, I'm making a commentary about how short-sighted that question is.
Yeah, 1,000% increase. Some of them are going to say yes. But, oh, all right. So you're saying it gets worse from here?
It does, but you know, you were getting into a little bit of that. What were the ends that justified the means? You said money. We will have a conclusive answer to that question after the mid-break.
All right, let's go thank our patrons. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got some new patrons, including Dubug, that's a good name, and Gothic Reaper. One is real cute, one is real terrible and scary, and I love that both of these people have decided to support the show. Welcome to the Patreon, patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast. Thank you for all of your support. Also, we have to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons, Draco, Edboy, Kirisi, Lieutenant Tosino, Retrobot, Superfly, and William. Thank you all for your support, and to all 74 of our current active patrons, thanks for your support as well, and to everyone else who has signed up just for free in order to stay in the loop when we've got announcements and things like that. Go check out patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast. Thank you for the support, everybody. Also, if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, you can do that. We'll read out your reviews on a future episode of the show. I don't have any new ones on my list this week, but who knows? If you leave one this week, then chances are we'll read it out. Also, we are a week away from our patron chat this month on the 27th. So Friday the 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And if you would like to sign up because you haven't decided to join us yet, but you want to be part of that conversation, there's still time to do that. Head over to the Patreon. And also, there's still time to chime in with some ideas for things that we could discuss. In fact, who knows? Maybe it might be fun to get all of our patrons' perspectives on this war, because it's one of those topics a lot of people haven't thought about before, but I'm sure they're going to have opinions about that or whatever else they want to discuss, because they get to vote on it and decide what we discuss. So thanks, everybody, for the support and the reviews and all the other things and sharing it with your friends, all that other stuff. We really appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so we were talking before the break about the motivation. What is anyone getting out of this? And I suggested it's money. Do you think there's more to it than that?
Yeah, you know, we're seemingly getting a transparent explanation from the corporations now to some degree. But we do find out what they really wanted, and it's not coming from the corporations. So on December 6th, that's when the Cerberus Daily News dispatch goes up for players. It says, a team of reporters from Second Star Broadcasting has made a discovery that they claim puts the war on Garvok in an entirely new light. Working undercover for several months at Guanghui Solutions. Okay, I'm very intrigued. I'm so into this story now. These journalists were working undercover inside one of the corporations. And then it says the journalists uncovered evidence that the company, along with Sonax Industries, was concealing a cache of Prothean technology on Garvok for their own private financial gain. Prothean technology.
That's it. That's cute. What's worth it, because that's something you can't get anywhere else.
No, and had the Alliance known about this, they might have wanted a stake in it. Other governments certainly would have wanted a stake on it. And so they were, I'm sure, trying to keep this under the highest level of wraps. And maybe that's why that general was killed.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm just speculating right now.
Right. Well, he would have been one of the people who could have leaked that information. And if all of a sudden he didn't seem trustworthy to the corporation anymore, then you couldn't just let him go, because he could say whatever he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says the reporter's painstaking documentation has garnered the attention of the Citadel Council's Committee on Paleotechnology, which demanded that the corporations allow their inspection team full access to the Garvok site in question or face reprisals to their offices in Citadel space. Okay. You remember how I was saying these corporations are headquartered in Citadel space? There has to be some level of accountability. Now we see that the Citadel Council is kind of flexing its muscle a little bit and saying you must allow our inspection team full access to this site or we're going to basically level sanctions. And then it says the investigation promises to delay Guanghui's release of a high performance Mass Effect field generator scheduled to be on the market in just a few months. So this is a consumer, quote unquote, consumer good, or perhaps defense contract that it has. Mm-hmm. High performance Mass Effect field generator. And Guanghui is saying, oh yeah, you want to investigate us? Well, maybe our defense contract with this high performance Mass Effect field generator, maybe we'll just wait. Maybe that won't come out when we said it would come out.
It's so shady. It's so
this
much.
Is the definition of shady.
I don't know what else to say about all of that other than just like, I'm not surprised, but I'm also still just like repulsed by it.
Yeah, like, but it does start
like
to make
a shield
sense.
Generator pushing me away.
It starts to make sense about why they were so gung-ho about Garvug. It's a planet that didn't really have a favorable, habitable climate, not all that much, just a thin band around the equator. It was just Krogan and Vorcha there. There wasn't a whole lot of resources there besides iridium, so it's kind of like,
and we know if as playing from playing the game, you can go to all these different planets and moons and collect iridium or whatever, right? Like that, it's not like that's a limited resource. There's lots of places you can go get that where you don't have to kill Krogan in order to do it,
or at least just go through the hassle you know what I mean, of organizing and mobilizing a military to get there. So the Prothean technology makes a lot more sense, but I'm now curious about specifically what kind of Prothean technology this was, much like those Citadel Council investigators.
Right Now, like that, when I said that that's something that you can't get somewhere else, you can get Prothean technology other places, they have found it other places, but what is specifically at this location and the information that that will give you could be absolutely unique. It could be something that you can't find anywhere else, or it could give us historical data on the way the world or the universe was, or the galaxy was, you know, back at that time. There is a ton of value here for that. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, you're thinking in noble pursuit goals, like gaining knowledge and things like that. For the corporations, I don't think they care too much about that. They care about the leverage that this would give them over different governments. You know, oh, we can sell this to you, but now we get to name our price.
Right. Or we can back engineer this technology and use it for new products and things like that. Absolutely. There's that value for the corporations, but you can also see why they would keep it secret from everyone else, because there's more than just that value for anybody else who has any interests or cares about maintaining the sanctity of historical locations and things like that, like we deal with in our own world when people find things and then they, you know, like there was a big problem in the 1800s when archaeologists would, you know, plunder a tomb and then not document what they found very well. And now scientists and archaeologists have to guess about the way things were, right? So there's still value in keeping those sites pristine and actually looked at by real archaeologists, whereas... this group doesn't care about that, but they know if the word had gotten out that people would be up in arms for all of these different reasons.
Well, that's why I think they cared about the infrastructure. That's why they kept talking about, well, the infrastructure is okay.
Yeah.
So because they need the infrastructure to be able to excavate and preserve the Prothean technology, I think. You know, if they were just going to bombard everything and blast it all to smithereens, they might destroy the Prothean technology and then they would be pissed.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Everything's also for naught.
Yeah. It kind of limits them to where they want to engage militarily so that they don't destroy the thing that they're there for. So you have to wonder if the Krogan understood that and used some of those locations as places they could be more safe or less likely to get attacked directly.
I'm willing to bet the Krogan didn't understand the true value of the Prothean technology that was with them, because if they did, I would have thought that they would have gone directly to the press with a video saying they just want our Prothean technology, because they also would have understood that would have prompted the Citadel Council to get to intervene immediately.
Yeah, good point. They would have leveraged that against them if they knew that that was the source of the reason why they're there. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the Citadel Council investigators, we learn... they have announced formal charges against 14 of the 24 board members of Sonax Industries and Guanghui Solutions. So this is like a really typical, it looks like they're going after individual sanctions right now. And like we see this in geopolitical conflicts in our own world all the time. This is like the first step toward a conflict. And the move, it says the move follows an investigation that confirmed those companies withheld Prothean technology from the galactic community for personal gain and instigated an interplanetary war to that end. The investigation credited unnamed specters who secured what they say was irrefutable evidence of the corporation's complicity. Included in those indicted is Sonak's Supreme Commander Lyra Spate. High Commissioner of Galactic Rights Urania Asula said, "The acts of these corporations went beyond mere illegality and into crimes against the galactic populace. We invoke the right of the Council to admit evidence garnered by Council representatives to prosecute the parties involved for their misdeeds." Lyra Spate's office reportedly responded with the following statement: "Try."
Oof. I love that the Spectres are involved here, and it makes me long for side games. Like, you know, you got like the main Mass Effect series, you've got Mass Effect 4 or 5 or whatever they're going to call it for coming up next, and it's going to be continuing the main story and probably the fate of the galaxy and all of these big things. What I want are little side stories that are like detective stories where you get to play as a Spectre and infiltrate evil corporations and take them down from the inside. And it could be something like Splinter Cell, or it could be something like even a narrated story, like with a detective thing where you make decisions based on dialogue trees and things like that. Wouldn't that be cool? Like a kind of like an Indiana Jones of Spectre world.
that would make sense. What I'm thinking right now is one of those journalists with, let me scroll up and see, Second Star Broadcasting that went undercover working at Guanghui Solutions. What if the journalist is also a Spectre?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because they are the ones who first, you know, found and reported, well, the ones we know first reported on the Prothean technology discovery. So I guess there's a possibility that there were also Spectres who infiltrated Guanghui Solutions. So now you have journalists and Spectres who infiltrated Guanghui Solutions.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but it is really, really interesting because here we have an example of the unchecked power of Spectres being used for good.
Right. Right. This is what I want. I want like 007, like James Bond Spectre type stuff. Like, and it's all about these little stories, not necessarily the big fate of the galaxy stuff. That would be so cool. But yeah, I think you're right. And that's what's kind of fun about this is that we don't know who was and who wasn't a Spectre. As they said, plural, like there could be multiple. It kind of almost feels like Jedi stuff in a way. You know,
a
like
little bit.
A little bit Jedi, a little bit James Bond, a little bit
a lot
Indiana
of
Jones. Yeah, it's like, developers, publishers, give us cool stuff. We'll eat it up. Promise.
I love it because so many of the other times in the lore, what we hear is the Spectres, they can't be held accountable by anyone. They're this, you know, just unilateral acting, weaponized arm of the council. Mm-hmm. And
we get, oh, examples of bad Spectres or Spectres gone bad. And that's Saren. What we think of. Yeah, Saren. Yep. That's what we think of. But most of them are probably more likely to do overall good things that benefit. That's why they're there. You know, I'm sure some of them go rogue. I'm sure some of them make some rough decisions and sometimes don't make the right choice in the right situation. But most of the time, I would assume that these extremely talented, capable individuals are actually doing stuff like this, which is
right. Well,
really
don't
cool.
forget, Shepard's a Spectre.
Right.
And Shepard does a lot of good.
Right. It depends on how you play him, I guess.
I guess
sure.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But in this case, we do find that Spectres are being basically used to enforce the law on powerful corporations who, I think the motive for the council is less about the fact that they killed Krogan. Mm-hmm. Less mm-hmm. about the fact that they invaded a Krogan and Vorcha world and were oppressive against these native populations. I think it's more about the fact that they withheld the Prothean technology. And so the council wants the Prothean technology. But regardless of the motive, the end result is still good. That these corporations are being taught, and other corporations watching are being taught, that there are going to be consequences if you do something similar to this for Prothean technology. What I don't like is the message that it's sending to those corporations that, hey, as long as there's no Prothean technology involved, you could probably get away with this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it may be vague enough to make them wonder, because the council hasn't specifically said that that's the sole reason that they're being investigated. So,
true, they could have more cards up their sleeves. Mm-hmm. And you have to believe now that the corporations have painted a target on these Spectres' backs. They're going to try and find out who they are, and they're going to try and kill them, I think. Mm. And the next dispatch kind of vindicates that. It says, the death of a Salarian enforcement agent on planet Garvuk is causing a stir among council watchers and Sonex stockholders alike. Sources close to Sonex commander Lyra Spate allege that Spectre Lonar Mehrun made an attempt on Spate's life and was wounded by her security. I wonder if that's why Excelsior blew up, the command ship. I wonder if that was a Spectre operation.
Yeah, it might have been.
because we didn't know who did it, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like that would be something that they did. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it says Mehrunes assistant died, shot after a weapon malfunction left him vulnerable. Sonax officials allowed journalists to view but not photograph a charred Salarian body they claim is Urjan Taltz.
That doesn't sound shady at all, but okay.
Yeah. So unidentifiable body. You're allowed to see it, but don't take any pictures because then that could be, vetted. Mm. Spate herself did not appear at the press conference, and spokesperson Victor Cohen attempted to assuage reporters, saying the Sonax board was, quote, looking into complying with the Citadel Council, but added that, quote, the law clearly states that we are in the Terminus systems and their act of aggression goes beyond any legal attempt to solve this matter. Their act of aggression.
Right. Always painting it to their advantage.
Yeah, sure. We invaded a Krogan Vorcha backwater planet, and we led a veritable genocide, but clearly you can see why we needed to lie about it, too. Now, the Citadel Council, they're acting a little aggressive.
Yeah, we needed to keep this under wraps because we knew how you all would overly respond to this in ways that would put people in danger. So we had to do the right thing. It's like,
which, by the way, saying that like admits that you are aware of the guilt of what you did.
Right. It's like the student in the classroom who's like, oh, but the teacher got me in trouble. And like, no, you got in trouble. The teacher was just upholding the rules of the school. Like, you just don't do the thing that's wrong and then you don't get in trouble. You can't be mad at the punishment. That's not how that works.
This is some severe narcissistic abuse being perpetrated to the entire galactic community.
Very, very much. Yeah. Yeah.
So you remember the company Umsung Holdings that bought out Sonax Industries when their stock fell?
Right.
We get an update about them in December 24th, 2010, so Christmas Eve. It says Umsung Holdings, Sonax Industries' parent company, has announced sweeping changes to upper management in light of new evidence that has caused significant damage to their brand. So whenever you hear that a company has announced upper management reorganization of a company because they're being investigated, you should probably hold with you a level of skepticism that the company is perhaps destroying or burying evidence.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So the Sonax Industries division will now be known as Core, and each board member currently under council investigation for war crimes will be given a retirement packages for services rendered. Oh, my God. So they're getting a golden parachute because they're being investigated for war crimes. Said Umsung representative Arim Khan, it's a new day at Umsung, and we're grateful to the Citadel Council for shining the harsh light of truth on the missteps taken by our employees.
Lack of responsibility. None. This shines a light on a big problem. Why does the guy who basically goes to the grocery store or the corner store and holds them up and walks away with $50 out of the cash register more punished for that than CEOs of these kinds of companies who put people's lives in danger for billions of dollars? And like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's the same way mob bosses get away with, having their henchmen do their bidding.
Right.
They
acted on their own. I didn't tell them to go do that.
Fun fact for everyone listening, this is why RICO, the RICO Act was invented. And if you ever see anyone charged with a RICO crime, it's tantamount to organized crime. It's so that the leaders of organized crime units cannot escape accountability by just saying, well, I didn't do it. I didn't tell them to do it. They did it on their own. When in actuality, there was a power differential. They knew that they were tasked with doing that. Anyway, the rest of this dispatch says, Admiral Lyra Spate's replacement, Vice Admiral Sunil Mabuza, is expected to take command of the armed forces on and orbiting Garvug in 3 Citadel Standard Hours when the sun rises over its capital of Dazeel. Okay, so Lyra Spate is no longer in command, which means to me, I think they found evidence that she was doing even worse things than are publicly known.
Oh, see, in my mind, I was like, it seemed like a sign that this phase of this is over and she's now moved on to something else. But it could be either. We don't really know.
I mean, she's given a retirement package because she was being investigated for war crimes. I think they're trying to let her escape.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, this is done. Like, we can let her retire. She can move on. Let's paint a new face for the company, like all of that.
Probably a strong NDA clause with that retirement package, I would guess.
Probably, yeah.
So... In the next, or 2 days later, on Christmas, the day after Christmas, it says former Sonax, now Core employee, Lyra Spate, has reportedly fled the planet of Garvok. Oh, big surprise. Citadel investigators allowed access to her personal quarters by Core Admiral Sanil Mambuza were able to determine that she took steps to alter her appearance before departing with a flight bag full of negotiable bearer bonds and platinum. She's believed to be traveling with up to 5 trusted bodyguards. Investigators have released no details about the make or model of the ship she used, nor have they speculated on her likely location. Asked if she would likely remain in the Terminus systems to stay outside the Council's reach, spokesperson Dixali Arborandum replied, "If she wants to stay out of our reach, she'd better find another galaxy."
So, okay, wait, so did she not take the golden parachute? Is that what's happening here? Or is this part of her retirement?
I feel like this is part of her retirement package. Okay. How are those bodyguards getting paid?
Because she's made a ton of money, and I don't know. I mean,
how long is that going to last?
Right. Well, it's a good question. In my mind, this could go one of two ways. What, she takes the retirement package and she now leaves in order to get out from any critique at all by the Citadel or anybody. Like, she wants to go off the map. Or she finds that the information that she has is more valuable somewhere else, and she's taking the risk of going against the company, and so therefore she is avoiding them by doing this. I don't know. So I don't know that this is clear about that, is it? Am I missing something?
But at the end of the day, she's being investigated for war crimes, and she's leaving.
Right, right.
But
right.
We don't know where. Where do you think she's going? My guess is Argentina.
Go back to Earth. Argentina. Like the Nazis after World War II.
Yes, that was the... Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Maybe. Probably not Earth, though.
She's going to a planet called Argentinium.
Argentinium. Yep. Yep. That's probably where.
No, we don't know yet where she's going, but this is pretty strong man's rhetoric from the council spokesperson saying that if she wants to stay out of our reach, she'd better find another galaxy. Basically, she's saying there that our specters are not bound by Citadel space.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking, too, is that it doesn't matter what type of ship she gets on, how many bodyguards she has. If there's a specter that's hunting her down at this point, she's as good as done. Like, maybe not dead, but at least... you know, captured, going to have to deal with this, being brought back to the Citadel.
I'd venture to guess they want to capture her alive so that they can give her a plea deal in exchange for her turning on the board members.
Right, right. What else can you tell us that we don't know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can make this a lot easier for you, but we just need some names.
Right, right. Just give us some names. It'll be easy.
And I'm willing to bet that's how things go. But that is all the dispatches we have for today. There's going to be kind of one more episode. It's going to be like a denouement, de-escalating resolution to this whole thing where we're also going to do a post-mortem on this. There is one particular... Mass Effect community member who's very active in a couple of different Mass Effect forums, and this person really, 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 really loves Garvug and the Krogan, and I've already seen their quote-unquote manifesto about Garvug, and they have a lot of really insightful analyses about this, so I've reached out to them on Discord, and in that next episode, we're going to be able to hear from some of their analysis. It's very, very intriguing, talking about Krogan society, what we can extrapolate from the Garvug conflict, about how the rest of the council races view the Krogan, and other things like that. So we'll do a post-mortem on this, not next week, because next week is our patron chat.
That's right. Yep, that's coming up next week, and then that'll be exciting. It'll be fun to get some more insight on this, because it is a really interesting conflict, and it is so well written, and it feels like the kind of situation that really could happen this way. So that'll be a lot of fun. But do you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, so I'm going to be on my first panel ever. That is next Saturday, the 28th. I will be in Portland. So anyone who's listening, any of you Spectres, if you're around Portland, come on down to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. I will be doing a panel with some other Robots Radio Network hosts. And we're going to do like a gaming family feud thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, up on the Discord, we had, real quick, we had the I guess it was a survey that was up and that was getting shared around with all these questions about gaming and all sorts of fun things. If I think that might still be up on the Discord. So if you want to chime in with your perspectives on that to help out with that, that would be wonderful. So that's just a lot of fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We're trying to get to 100 responses so that we have an accurate survey. But yeah, if anyone is in Portland and you're going to the Retro Gaming Expo, I'd love to meet up with you at that panel and we can come say hi. You can see what I look like. I am 4'3", 360 pounds with a green beard.
There's going to be like one individual who's cosplaying like a dwarf with a green beard or something at the convention. And everyone's going to run up to them and be like, you're in seven. I love the Mass Effect Lorecast. You're great. Everybody's gonna be like, what?
What are you talking about? Right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to be there on Saturday, September 28th. So, and love to chat with anyone about Mass Effect or Elder Scrolls. I'm super into Elder Scrolls right now. I'm listening to a couple of audiobooks.
I know a really good podcast you should check out.
I think I've heard of this one. Yeah, Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Yeah.
No, I was going to say Tales of Tamriel, but that's fine. Oh, you can listen to my show too.
That one too. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I'm streaming Mass Effect every Saturday. I also just got a new game that I can't wait to stream. It's called Squirrel with a Gun. You ever heard about this?
I don't know that I have.
It's a platformer where you're literally just a squirrel holding a normal sized gun. The gun is massive compared to the squirrel.
Wow.
And you run around as the squirrel and it's a platformer, right? Like instead of like Crash Bandicoot picking up peaches, right? I think it was, you're picking up acorns.
Okay.
And it's a platformer. It's really fun. It's there are like these Agent Smith Matrix level agents after you and you're like fighting them. Shooting him with the gun.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's funny.
You double jump by jumping, and you're a squirrel. It's a normal squirrel jump, but then you double jump by firing the gun down, and you're a squirrel, so the recoil pushes
you up in the air. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, it's incredible. I can't wait to stream that. And I'm also streaming on Thursday's Ghost of Tsushima. So if you want to see any of that, you can follow me on Twitch or Twitter at N7TheLegend.
I've watched a number of YouTube videos recently where people play like terrible games. Like they'll go find like the worst rated games on Steam or like these games are only $1 or $2 or something like that and play them. That sounds like terrible and also fun. Like maybe you and I should play one of these games and then like create YouTube videos about it, about how terrible
Chained together.
Are. Yeah. 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 Chained together. Oh my God. I watched one about that recently. That game looks terrible. Oh dear God. The most like you fall down and fall all the way down to the bottom again and then you run back up the top. Drive me nuts.
Destroy friendships.
Yeah, dear Lord. But anyway, I've got other stuff too. RobotsRadio.net for the rest of the shows on the network. There's a bunch of them. I've got a bunch of other shows as well. You guys know how this goes. And also, I love helping creators launch their own podcasts and get stuff out there and make some really fun things. So if you'd like to join me, you can go to RobotsRadio.net. There is the Rocket Club where you can sign up and I'll help you start your podcast and get it going. But that's what we got this week. We're going to wrap this up in 2 weeks. Next week is the Patreon chat and we will see you then. So until then, stay safe and try not to be a slimy corporate douchebag. All right. See you all later. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.